I remember back in May, following the flood, remember when the Water Commission asked us to conserve water. The city had lost one of its water treatment plants, and now we were relying on just one plant that had been around a long time, and we weren't quite sure if it could keep up with our demand. So the word went out, conserve water. And you and I went to our taps, and every time we just started to turn it on, we asked ourselves, do we really need this water? Remember showering every other day? Some of you are still trying to get over that. You remember using paper plates and cups, plastic utensils? I also remember the stories about people hoarding water. There were these rumors going around that Metro might actually start restricting our water. Instead of just asking nicely, they might actually force us to only use a certain amount of water. So people started filling their bathtubs. They started taking plastic containers that they found around their house and going to their taps and filling them up and stacking them neatly in their kitchens. All because of a rumor that wasn't true. I remember having a bit of a dilemma. I wanted to play nice and work well with others. I wanted to do what Metro asked me to do and just use what I needed when I needed it. On the other hand, there were these other folks. Maybe some of them were my neighbors. They seemed to be filling their bathtubs with water. And I remember going on Facebook, and they had that chart, that graph that showed that the water level was only at like 30% or something like that. What was I going to do? Was I going to stick to my guns? Or was I going to give in to what everybody else was doing? We at Vine Street talked a lot about conserving water. We changed our sign out front, reminding people, conserve water. What about those other people? What motivated them? Was it selfishness? Were they just trying to protect their families just in case the worst happened? Did they lack faith in government? Or did they lack faith in their neighbors? Well, for many of us at Vine Street, our tubs remained dry, except when we were cleansing ourselves. Our kitchens had just enough water to get by. We did this, yes, because we are Nashville, but we did this because we are also Vine Street Christian Church. We're a group of people aiming to live in community, to uplift values that we believe to be true. And that's sort of what the challenge is for Paul as he writes to the Colossians. He has this problem with these newly minted Christians, because seeping like floodwaters into their hearts and minds are these cultural ways of thinking that threaten this alternative way of living that Jesus sets up in his teachings and in his life. Paul needs the Colossians to stop and think about their baptism, that act of obedience that marks the beginning of our Christian journey. It's that outward sign that we make to ourselves and to those around us that we're going to be working to be different from the way that we used to be. But Paul has gotten word that some things are threatening that line of thinking. So he writes to the Colossians, "So if you have been raised with Christ, see the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on the things that are on earth, for you have died. Your life is hidden in Christ, with Christ in God." See, there were two things that were going on. The first one was people were being tempted to put their faith in powers unseen, specifically, in this case, apparently, astrology. Now, I'm not talking about going to the newspaper and reading your horoscope and kind of seeing how it plays out. That's not what I mean. What I mean is that there is this cultural thinking that maybe we needed a little bit extra. God was good, but maybe having the stars on our side would help our fates a little bit better. Paul says you can't tap into that power. You can't tap into it because it's not there. Earlier in the book, Paul has reminded the Colossians of all the things that God has done for them. Paul's crying out, there's no power there. The only power that you need, the only power that is there, comes through Christ Jesus. Well, that's the one thing that's going on. There's another thing. Folks are trying to tap into a power within themselves. There's a notion that if I lead an ascetic lifestyle, if I toss away the creature comforts of life, if I practice extreme self-denial, then maybe I will get a few extra brownie points with God. You know, to assure my salvation, just in case this grace thing doesn't work out. On Judgment Day, I'll have a few extra things going for me because I lived differently, because I did it myself. Well, Paul doesn't think too much of that insurance policy. Trusting in Christ is the one thing, Paul preaches, that is necessary for human salvation. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, he says in verse 4, then you too will be revealed with him in glory. Elsewhere in the New Testament, we hear Jesus saying, trust in God, trust also in me. This is the thread that runs throughout the Bible, and especially, well, and throughout the New Testament. In the New Testament, Christ has rescued us from the darkness of our souls. Christ has brought us into new life. We were lost, but now we are found. And so Paul is calling on the Colossians to live a holy life, to live that commitment of their baptism that they said they were going to live, no matter what the prevailing thoughts of the times might be. We as Christians, we will be known by our love. We'll be known by the way that we behave in the world, a way of living that began at our baptism. It's a way of living where an ethical sort of life is the rule, not the exception. It's a way of living where relationships matter, that the dignity of humanity and of creation is what reigns supreme. It's love. And this is where we place our hope for a new creation, our hope for new life. So Paul is saying to the Colossians, remember your baptism. Remember how this all began. Don't get lost in all this other conversation. Remember? Remember? Can you remember? Can you remember your baptism? A few heads are nodding yes. Can you remember the saints that went before you that sort of raised you up? That one's a little bit easier for me. My baptism is a little fuzzy. I know that I was 12. I know that it was Easter Sunday, as in good disciples' tradition. Not sure what it was like going to church that day, but it was a pretty nice day afterwards, which is good for an April afternoon in Ohio. I remember that my grandma Rumberg was there. She was really good at attending her grandchildren's big events, especially baptisms at church. I remember that I got to take my first communion. I remember that I'd waited a long time to take communion with the adults, and I finally had my chance to do that. I remember that on the Sunday before, I got to make my confession of faith, but I don't remember that actual moment. I remember being in my pastor's class with Dr. Kerr, but I remember more the Sunday school lessons that Mrs. Blackburn shared with us before and after our baptism. And then there was that other thing. On the morning of my baptism, I was downstairs in our church with the other boys who were going to be baptized. The girls were across the way in the girls' restroom, and we were all putting on our white robes, signs of new life. We were taking off, we put on some everyday clothes and put on these white robes, and then I remembered my handkerchief. We were supposed to bring this white handkerchief that matched our robe, of course, and we were going to put it over our mouths and over our noses so that when Dr. Kerr dunked us, we didn't have water going up our nose. Well, to a 12-year-old, that means you use this thing so you don't drown in front of the whole church. And that was pretty much my objective that day, to not drown in front of Central Christian Church. But I remembered that I didn't bring mine with me. So now what am I going to do? Fortunately, like many of the saints that brought me into Christ, there was a man standing nearby recognizing the problem. And Aiden went to the kitchen. He found a dish towel, and he folded it over. I think he probably folded it over one more time. And I had the handkerchief that I needed. We were baptized. Seemed like a little bit of a rocky start for me. But I was living along with my classmates into a new life, new beginnings with Christ. I remember the saints that came along the way, Dr. Kerr and Mrs. Blackburn, but also youth directors and members of the choir, people who led worship, people who came to worship. They helped me to remember my baptism week after week and day after day. So how about you? You remember your baptism. What about just one of the people that helped you to know Christ better? Picture them in your mind, if you will. What's different about them? Was it like they had a different sort of clothing around them? That they maybe had a special glow about them? Was there more of a spring in their step? Or did they stand just a little bit more upright? Was there a wisdom to their life that you wanted as part of your life? That's your beginning. That's what Paul is calling you to remember today. There was that moment that you made a commitment for Christ. There have been experiences that you've shared with women and men on your Christian journey that remind you that you have a different set of standards. Trusting in God is not something that you can teach from a textbook. Trusting in God is something that you live into across time. It's something that you do in community with one another, learning from one another. Remembering your baptism is another way of remembering your true self. It's about locating what's inside of you that helps you to make decisions that reflect your ongoing trust with Christ, with God. We are Christians working for the dignity of all people. We are people who pray for the relief of suffering around the world. We set out on our Christian journey to be a part of God's ongoing work everywhere, creating a world where there's no more mourning, there's no crying, there's no pain. It's my hope that God will continue to work with us, reminding us whose we are and what it is that we stand for. Because yes, we are Vine Street Christian Church. But more importantly, we are children of the living God, the one who calls us to do God's work, to bring about another way of living, a way of living of love and of hope and of peace. Thanks be to God.